Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Welcome back. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, I think I can only go on for a half hour. I'm not well today. Here, we are starting to talk about the internal energy of the Lord. There are two verses quoted from, oh boy. From the sixth canto, spoken by Vitrasura, probably, that establish the nature of the internal potency, or in terms of, well, establish that there is such a thing, because everything and everybody could not function without the influence of that internal energy. So the two verses say, Yanna sprishanti navidur mano buddhindriya savoho antar bahishcha vitatam Vyomavatanaptosmyaham Dehendriya pranamanodiyomi Yadamshavida prachadanti karmasu Naivanya dalohamiva prataptam Staneshu tadrashtriapadesham eti. Okay. Translation of that. I bow down to that which the mind, intelligence, and senses cannot touch or know, and which, like the sky, expands everywhere, within and without. The body, senses, mind, and intelligence, penetrated by a fractional part of this supreme, proceed in their respective functions. When at other times there is no such contact, they become inactive, like iron that has not been exposed to fire. Thus it is the Supreme who becomes known as the seer. Okay, and then we're in the comment, the explanation by Jiva Goswami. He makes us, what point does he make here? Well, he's just paraphrasing. He brings in as a support for this something that Shankaracharya says. Atra dvaita sharira kepi sankhyam akship yoktam yata. In the same regard, it is said in the Advaita school's Sharirika commentary on Vedanta, Atapuna sakshi nimittam ikshitritvam pradanasya kalpyeta yatagni nimittam Ayak pindadir dugdrit tvam. Next, an attempt, this is Shankara talking. Next, an attempt is made of presuming that the pradana becomes a seer through the effective causal agency of the witnessing soul. Similar to how, by the effective cause, fire, a lump of iron, or other object gains the power to burn. Okay, somebody, a proponent of the atheistic Samkhya philosophy, is trying to show that the pradhan becomes a seer. No, that can't even be Samkhya, because the Samkhya proponents say that pradhan doesn't see, doesn't have any consciousness. Prakriti doesn't have consciousness. So I don't know, somebody, well, but it's supposed to be a refutation of Sankhya philosophy. Okay, this is Vedanta Sutra 114, I'm sure. Am I right? Is this a commentary on 114? It doesn't give a reference. Hold on a second. I failed to give a reference for Shankaracharya. Oh, I'm looking in the wrong place. I'm sorry. 192. Yeah, anyway. Okay, we don't have a reference for this. Maybe it's not even Shankaracharya. That's a note I have to myself. It just says the Advaita Charyutika. I assumed that was the commentary by Shankara, but I don't think I've located it yet. Anyway, the statement is about somebody saying, apparently the Sankhya philosopher is saying, that pradana, the material, total material nature, is the seer. Actually, the Vedanta Sutra is arguing against pradana being the actual cause of creation, saying that ikshater na shabdam. The Upanishads say that the Supreme looked, he observed, ikshita, and then he said, bahusham pajayaiva, let me become many. He looked and he said, let me become many. That is in the Upanishads. That's the Chandogya Upanishad, I think. That's given as an argument that what's described can't be pradhan. Pradhan can't be the creator. Because a pradhan doesn't have any consciousness to do any looking with. I guess this is a counter in reply to that by the Sankhyas, that we could somehow say that pradhan is a seer, even though she's not conscious. I don't know what the argument is. Oh, okay, here's the argument. Yatagni nimittam ayar pindadir dugdritvam. Let me read the sentence again. Next, an attempt is made of presuming that the pradhan becomes a seer through the effective causal agency of the witnessing soul. Similar to how by the effective cause, fire, a lump of iron or other object gains the power to burn. So, something else, the Purusha, according to the Sankhyas, is the efficient cause. And the Nimitta Karanam. And Pradhan is the Upadana Karanam. But according to the Sankhya philosophy, the Purusha is conscious but not active. He doesn't do anything. And Prakriti does everything, but she's unconscious, and they have to work together. But they say you can call Prakriti a seer, because when the two come in contact, just like iron coming in contact with fire, gets the power to burn, even though itself is not fire. So Prakriti, even though she's unconscious, somehow gets the power to see by contact with the Purusha. That's the argument by the Sankhyas. Now, Shankaracharya's answer to that, and, you know, we'll listen to him. If he says something that we want to hear, if he says something we don't disagree with, we'll accept it. If he can give us the argument, even though he's a Mayavadi, if he can give us the argument to defeat the atheistic Sankhya philosophy, we'll go along with it. Paramatam apatishidham anumatam. The opponent's position, where it's not specifically denied, when it's not specific, when we don't have a specific contradiction against it, no points we can accept it. So, this is what Shankara says in reply to the Sankhyas. Tata sati yannimittam ikshitvitvam pradhanasya tadeva sarvagyam mukhyam jagatat karanam. But if that is so, if Prakriti becomes secondary, by contact, in a secondary way, a seer, then the effective cause of the Pradhans being a seer must be the omniscient prime cause of creation. Pradhan is not really seeing, any more than our material eyes are really seeing. Material senses have no consciousness. They're just physical organs. The soul sees. You can say the eyes see, but that's not exactly right. The eyes don't see anything. They don't have any consciousness. Similarly, you can say that Prakriti is the cause of creation, and Prakriti looked and said, "Let there be many," but she didn't really do it. It was actually the effective cause made it seem like she was looking and speaking. That effective cause, that must be, the effective cause must have actually created the circumstances under which she seems to be conscious. That effective cause is the actual omniscient prime cause of creation, not Prakriti. That's Shankaracharya's argument, which we're quoting because it's basically it's also our argument. And Jiva Goswami says, Shruti's Chhatra. There is also such statements of Shruti in this regard. I want to add the word. Oh, this is not working. Oh, Krishna. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Insert a comment, insert a comment. Excuse me for the delay. There's also such statements of Shruti as Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam and Poyevan Yat Kakranyad Yad Esha Akasha Anandonasyat and also Chakshushas Chakshur Utashotrasya Shotram. Everything radiant reflects its radiance. The Prakriti may seem to be radiant or energetic, but it's just reflecting the Supreme Lord's, the Supreme Brahman's energy. And then who could breathe and live if this supreme sky were not the embodiment of bliss? There Brahman is being called the Akasha. And it is the eye of the eye and the ear of the ear. So behind the senses is the supreme controller. Behind material nature, empowering her, is the supreme controller. There's a commentary. Oh, Krishna. Shila Jiva here cites the Sharirika Bhashya. Shankaracharya's commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. If it is, actually Sharirika Bhashya. Although the Advaita Vadis of Shankara's school contradict Vaishnava understanding of many of the major tenets of Vedanta philosophy, since they deny that the differences between the finite souls and the supreme soul are real, still, some things, they say, may be acceptable and useful. The logicians following Gotama have a saying, Paramatam apatishidham anumutam. An opponent's opinion can be agreed with as long as there is no particular objection to it. The fourth sutra of the first part of the first chapter of the Vedanta Sutra reads Ikshater Na Shabdam. This is explained by Shankaracharya as a rebuttal of the atheist Sankhya philosophy's claim that nature, Prakriti, that shouldn't be capital N, is the ultimate cause of all creation. 1 second. Okay. According to this Sankhya view, the counterpart male principle, the Purusha, is conscious but inactive, while the female, Prakriti, is active but unconscious. Prakriti, in other words, is the effective agent of creation, and the Purusha is only a passive witness. That's the Sankhya claim. Ikshater na shabdam is the Vedic, the Vedanta response to this Sankhya position. Prakriti cannot be the effective cause of creation because she is ashabdam, not the cause which the authoritative words of the Upanishads describe. It says, Ikshater na ashabdam. Ashabdam is being used as a reference to Prakriti. It's being called ashabda, meaning that she's not the Prakriti that's described in the Shrutis. This is some other concocted idea of Prakriti. So this Prakriti you're talking about is ashabda. Your ashabda Prakriti, your unauthorized Prakriti, is not the cause, because it said that the cause of creation looked and spoke. In various texts, the Upanishads depict the cause of creation as engaged in the act of seeing. So, Aikshata Lokan Nu Shrija. He looked and then thought, let me send forth worlds. Unconscious Prakriti cannot be this seer, the Ikshatri, Ikshata. In the passage of Shankara's Sharirika Bhasha, cited in this Anuchet, the Sankhya proponents to the Vedanta, let me fix that, opponents. The Sankhya opponents to the Vedanta suggest that even though Prakriti is really unconscious, the consciousness of the Purusha seems to be reflected in her. They are thus proposing that although in the underlying reality there is the dual separate existence of the non-seeing cause and the non-causal seer, all the same, in our confused experience of ordinary life, we imagine that the two share their qualities with one another. That's what the Sankhya proponents are saying. Shankaracharya, however, responds that the witness of creation, Sakshi, whose perfect awareness reflects in Prakriti, cannot be said to be inactive without contradicting the Vedic authority of the Upanishads. The all-knowing Sakshi, the witness, must be none other than Brahman, who is the effective cause of everything that comes into being. The Sakshi, the witness, because the Sankhya people, they say, yes, the Jiva, the Purusha, is the witness. He's conscious. He doesn't do anything, but he's conscious. But this Sakshi, according to Vedanta, to provide the conscious intelligence needed for organizing the complex totality of material existence, cannot be a finite, imperfect witness. He must, in the words of Vajaspati Mishra in his Bhamati sub-commentary on the Sharirika Bhasha, the Sakshi must be a, quote, special person unaffected by the mental reactions of distress and entanglement in work, unquote, whose omniscience makes the creation possible. His thinking is in itself a causal act, the primeval act of creation. Okay, two corrections here. Wait one second. I say his thinking. It sounds like I'm saying that Vajasmati Mishra is the cause of all creation. Let me fix that. His thinking, not Vajaspati Mishra's, but the Supreme Brahman's. Okay. His, the Brahman's thinking, is itself a causal act, the primeval act of creation. The Upanishads illustrate the existence and life-giving powers of the Supreme Truth by figuratively identifying it with various causal elements of material nature, including light, the ether, and the organs of sense. Some places said that the Absolute Truth is light. Somewhere it said it's akasha. Somewhere different sense organs are identified with the Absolute Truth. Again and again, however, the Supreme is affirmed to be the one source of all creation. The original light reflected in all illumination. And the original pleasure seeker, pleasure seeking being. Oh boy. Whose breathing, seeing, and hearing are reflected in the derivative life functions of all living beings. Okay, I'm going to delete the one word, extra word, being, pleasure seeker being. We don't need to say that. Okay. Then there's, we're done with this. We move on to 18.3. Okay, so the Mayavadis have presented a good argument that material nature is not the ultimate cause of creation. Why are we saying that? Well, we're saying that Brahman, the Absolute Truth, the actual Absolute Truth, is giving the power to all the senses, the mind, and so on, to function as if they were alive. So in order to establish that, you have to defeat the other idea that material nature is giving the power of life to everyone. She's the mother, but it's not her power. She's just reflecting the power of the Supreme Person. Okay. That was a slight diversion. So Jiva Goswami says, Atta Prakritas Avishishta Tika. And here is the remaining part of the commentary on the verses under discussion, those two verses. Now we go back to explaining those two verses. Jivas Tarhi Drashtritvad Janantu Netyaha Staneshu Jagvadadishu Drashtrapadesham Drashtri Sangyam Tad Evaiti Prapnoti Nanyo Jivo Namasti Nanyatosti Drashta Ityadishu Te. Okay, someone may propose. This is, again, going back to the two verses from the. It says here, Narada spoke it to Chitraketu, those two verses. So this is explanation of what Narada said. Someone may propose, then let the Jiva know the Supreme, since he is a seer. Okay, so material senses are not really the seer. So how about the Jiva? Let him be the seer, the source of consciousness. This is answered. No, in these various places, in the conditions of wakefulness and so on, it is Brahman alone who obtains the designation, the name of seer. The other, namely the jiva, is not the seer. According to the statements of Shruti, Shruti says, other than him, the Supreme, there is no other seer. So you may make a philosophical claim that maybe the jiva is the actual witness and seer of creation. Maybe the jiva is the Supreme. That's okay as an idea, but it's contradicted by the Upanishads directly. Other than the actual Supreme, there is no other seer. Nanyo tosti drashta. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have any power of sight. It means he's not the primeval seer. Sa aikshita loko nushruja, who in the beginning of creation looked at Prakriti and said, let me become many. Mahavishnu glanced at Prakriti. Nobody else is that kind of seer, the one who glances at Prakriti and makes her create the whole universe. We can look at various things, but we can't create universes by our glance. So we're not seer in that sense. Taruktam tritiyam tatrayo veda sa atma swashrayashrayaha. The same is said in the verse. He who knows all three is the Supreme Soul, the shelter of all and his own shelter. That's from the second canto. Jivas know something, but the Supreme Soul, the Ashraya, is the seer of everything. He's the complete seer. And he's the seer who in the beginning of creation glanced at Maya. That kind of seer, the jiva doesn't fit the category. Shrutau cha jivo nam atonyak swayam siddho nasti param tu tadatmaka evetyartha. The statements of Shruti cited here should be explained as meaning that the jiva is not something separate, self-manifest. Rather, the jiva has Brahman as its foundation. Tata atonyo drashta nasti. Sarva drashtus tasyaparo drashto nasti dhyartaha iti vyakyayam. And thus, there is no other seer, meaning that there is no other seer of him, the seer of everything. Okay, that's the third reason why jiva is not the seer. Jiva didn't glance at Maya at the beginning of creation. The jiva is not the seer of everything. And the jiva is not the seer of the absolute truth. The absolute truth can see himself, but the ordinary jiva cannot see him. So the jiva, if he's a seer at all, he's a seer in a much more limited sense. And he's not even separate from the Supreme. So there is no separate seer. Four reasons why there's no other seer. Sri Narada's Chitraketum. This verse, it's actually these verses, was spoken by Sri Narada to Chitraketu. It's two verses. So let me mark that. And then there's a commentary. Commentary. Now the last quarter of the verse beginning Dehendriya Prana is discussed. Dehendriya Prana was the second of the two verses. The last line of that last verse. The Supreme alone is properly understood to be the knower of phenomena in each state of the states of consciousness. Normal wakefulness, dream, deep sleep, and transcendental awareness. It is not correct to identify the finite living being as the pure witness. Srila Sridhar Swami does not mean by his words, nanyo jivo namasti, there isn't any other called jiva, that the jiva is not conscious at all, and he certainly isn't saying that the jiva has no real existence. But as Srila Jiva Goswami elucidates, the jiva is not an independent seer. Whatever ability he has to see is granted to him by the grace of the Paramatma and can at any time be withheld again. A jiva may have developed his intelligence to the stage that he knows very well his body and environment, but as long as he remains a servant of the Supreme Lord's material nature, he cannot know himself as an eternal soul, a servant of the Supreme Lord, a servant of the Supreme Soul. In his material confusion, he cannot know anything correctly about the Supreme. And even when he achieves liberation, he will never know everything about the Supreme and his energies. The Supreme, however, knows everything always in all conditions. Okay, that finishes on Anuchheda 18. Important to understand that how God is different than the jiva and how he's different than material nature. He's the cause, he's the knower, in a way that jiva and prakriti cannot be. Okay, we'll stop there for now and continue tomorrow with Anuchheda 19. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.